name is Lewis, and I love Christmas. I love everything about it. The snow, the lights. I'm sorry. But most of all, I love the reason for the season. That's why this year, as a Christian, I got so tired of hearing that disrespectful phrase. You know the one. Happy holidays. Every time somebody'd say it to me, I would give them a good old Merry Christmas right in their face. Booyah for the Messiah!
Stop getting riled up. You're gonna hurt yourself.
Mom! I'm trying to talk here.
Whatever. I'm calling Dr. Goldstein.
Sorry. I had to move back in with my mother after all this.
Tell the truth, sweetie.
Fine. Fine. I've always lived with my mother.
Against my better judgment.
Mom! Mom! Can I just tell my story? So recently, I went to the supermarket to pick up some eggnog. As I walked in, the guy standing next to the grocery carts throws a big, "Happy holidays, mister," right in my face like it's no big deal. But guess what?
What, honey?
It was a rhetorical question, Mom. I am building the drama of the story.
Always so dramatic.
What? Oh, I'm the dramatic one? Oh, really? Anyway, the kid, this happy holidays punk, just got me riled up. So I grab the nog and I go to pay. The clerk rings me up, and what does she say? Happy holidays. I was enraged. I was in a blind fury. I jump up on the counter, I grab the microphone, and I yell into it. It's not a holiday, people! It's Christmas! I'm mad as heck, and I'm not gonna take it anymore! Unfortunately, my foot slipped, triggering the conveyor belt. Now, bread and milk doesn't seem to be moving too fast, but a 175-pound man flies off that belt. And fly I did. Not like a majestic eagle or a Superman. I flew like a partridge falling out of a pear tree. I flew into a display of Chia Pet nativity sets. Thus, my current condition. And then something funny happened. A gift arrived for me. Mom, a little help, please? No, not that one. No. To your left. Your left? No, the one that arrived! That's the one. Thank you.
You watch your tone with me, mister.
Well, it was from Elizabeth. The girl whose checkout stand I'd commandeered. She'd given me a gift. At first, it didn't make sense. I didn't deserve anything good from her. Not the way I'd acted. I'd acted like a maniac. But then I got to thinking. I had been bound up in religion. And I didn't want to be bound up anymore. Religion is always having to be right. Grace, that's being right with others, being right with God. So this gift, I don't know what's in it. It could be more eggnog. It could be a Chia Pet nativity set. Doesn't matter. The real gift is better than either of those things.
Oh, you two are destined for wedlock!
Mom! Why did you do that? Why do you always go there? We're not going to get married!
It's a match made.
I don't even know her!
But you said she was...
It doesn't matter if I said she was cute!
Cole filmed that one too. No, just kidding. Want to play? Wow, that's really loud. Can you hear me? Is that too loud? We're okay? Okay. I want to play a name that character game with you and see if you guys recognize who this is. It's from a book. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart. Scrooge, very good. Scrooge really set a precedent, that character, for being angry during the holidays, shaking your fist at traditions and things that you don't really agree with, and blaming other people for maybe loneliness in your life or things that loss that you've experienced. Looking at the video, there's a lot there. I'm wondering, you know, what was in the package that he had? What was the gift there? Could have been the Chia Nativity set, which sounds really cool. I don't know if that actually exists or not. Have you guys ever seen that? It sounds weird and kind of cool. I have no idea how Lewis could possibly feed himself and probably don't want to know. But looking at that video, you know, we see that character and we might say, well, he really got what he deserved because he was obnoxious, he was seriously rude, and treated this clerk in the store in a really painful way. And because of the way that he acted, he had consequences. But we might also look at that and say the opposite. We might say, well, really, Lewis got what he didn't deserve because he got a gift out of the grace of somebody that he had really crudely offended and mistreated. And regardless, however you look at that, Lewis entered that store a really arrogant, prideful, religious person, but then he exited with humility, probably a lot more humility than he understood that he even needed. And in that humbled state, Lewis became a candidate for something that all of us need, which is grace. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. For instance, if you're in line at the coffee shop and you're waiting and you're waiting and you finally get up to the counter and the clerk there says, no charge, the person before you purchased your coffee. That's grace, somebody giving you something you really didn't deserve. Or if you had, say, a speeding ticket, if you got pulled over, and if the officer, you know you're guilty, you know you were going over the speed limit, and they let you go, well, that's the first part of that is mercy, because you're not getting something you do deserve, which is a ticket. But there's also grace there, because they're just giving you a verbal warning. They're giving you something there, and that mercy is part of that grace of getting really what you don't deserve. And although Jesus is the reason for the season, you know, that's true, looking at this character, Lewis, somewhere along the way, unfortunately, he got off track where he got bound up in a religious need to be right instead of really pursuing loving, grace-filled relationships with other people. And that's part of grace, that in our hearts, God wants us to desire and pursue good relationships with other people. An example of that, of how not to do that, would be me as a young Christian. I remember after I came to Christ, I liked to argue back then, and I thought of myself as somewhat of an intellectual, and I just thought I could logically bury most people eventually. You know, if we argued long enough, yeah, I was incredibly obnoxious. And I remember back then there wasn't really any Facebook where you just throw stuff out there. There was AOL, America Online, which had all these chat rooms and things. And I would go in there, and a lot of those were specific religious chat rooms. And you'd get all kinds of lunatics like me and other people looking for an argument. And as a young Christian, I'd get on there full of pride and full of how right I was about a lot of stuff, with a real need to let people know how wrong they were and how right I was. Praise the Lord. I don't know how, but somehow he rewired me. I don't do that anymore. You know, characters like Lewis, and I've been there. There are times I get a little frustrated over people not remembering why we celebrate Christmas, but when we get caught up in a verbal war over Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, as if that's really a big deal, I know sometimes we have good intentions that we think we're defending God somehow, or we think we're defending the truth, but a lot of times the reality is we do that with a lack of what God really desires, which is love toward other people and compassion and grace towards others. And Lewis demonstrated a kind of clumsy love towards God, a type of love that unfortunately ends up hurting other people sometimes. And usually that kind of love that he had, even though he had good intentions, I'm sure, a lot of times that just people don't respond well to that kind of love. And the reality, the lesson there is that it is hard to be right in your heart towards your neighbor when your first reaction towards them is correction, especially with a tone of superiority. And this is important because God cares about what's in our hearts. As much as he cares about us correcting people and everybody saying what's right on the outside, 1 Samuel 16:7, some of you remember, God talks about him looking on the heart, that man looks on the outer appearance. But God's looking at our hearts, and this is important. You know, we need to have that same priority, that what's in our hearts, our motives matter, because they matter to God. And when our first reaction to people, like with the Happy Holidays or the Starbucks coffee mug controversy, if you guys remember that from, I think, was that last year? They didn't use the right color cups, and people were offended. You know, when our first reaction to people is to be judgmental and correct them, a lot of times that drives people away from the Lord. That does really the opposite of what we're wanting to do. Because Jesus said that people will know we are disciples not by how right we are, but by our love for one another. And again, grace is less about being right, and it's more about being right with God and with one another. Religion is about being right. You know, thinking about that, though, I thought, that's probably not on my list for Christmas. I needed some more religion. God, would you just give me a whole lot more being right and a lot more religion? It's really not on my list, and maybe not on yours either. Religion has been defined as a set of rules and regulations that are apart, that are separate from relationship. And that seems like something really far away. A set of rules is really far away from the heart of God. A set of regulations is really far away from the love and grace that God has for us. And really what God wants us to experience is those who are celebrating Advent, and we're celebrating the first arrival, the first advent of Christ, and looking forward to the second arrival of Jesus Christ, that God really isn't about us having a lot more rules in our life and a lot more regulations that we go through, but really about experiencing personally the love and grace of Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, I know most of you are familiar with this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, I like to think about that because the birth of Jesus, the advent, the arrival of Jesus as a baby was a gift to mankind. Emmanuel, God with us, is a gift from God, directly from God the Father to us. And that gift was motivated by love. Jesus also said, love one another as I have loved you. You know, and that's for everybody. You know, I think about the people that came to see Jesus there in that stable, the shepherds. And if you've read much about the history of those times and that culture, you know that those shepherds were not esteemed. They were really, that was one of the lowest professions. They were not educated, usually. And that was, they were the poorest of the poor, other than maybe those who would just beg for a living. That was probably the least respected trade there was. And yet those were the people that the angels appeared to and gave this great invitation. Come and see. Look what God's doing. Christ is born. And so we see that. And then later the Magi, who we're told are wise men, they may have been royalty of some kind, they were wealthy. The gifts that are described that they brought were worth probably more than a year's wages for the shepherds. And so you have different types of people, even though they did come later on, they weren't there that same evening. but different types of people that God is extending this gift to, this gift of his grace in Jesus Christ. But we need to remember, as we get excited about the arrival of Christmas, as we get excited about celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ, that it really is about love more than anything else. And that if we love God, but we miss out on loving other people during this time, then we're really not experiencing Christmas the way God wants us to experience Christmas. The gift of grace allows us to love our neighbors, whether they say Happy Holidays, or whether they say Merry Christmas, or whether you say Merry Christmas and they just kind of nod and look at you funny, or no matter how somebody's acting or treating or whatever they're saying, the gift of grace from God allows us to treat them with love. Grace makes room for people. Grace is, in a way, it's kind of an insulator to where we're not so fragile and we're not so easily offended and we're not so hurt by everybody around us, because we receive this fullness of God's grace in our hearts and in our lives. It makes room for people. And I think about Jesus and his time on earth and how, you know, Jesus had room for people. No matter who you were, you could come into wherever Jesus was and you could experience the grace of God. You could experience a nearness to God, no matter who you were. But then we have Lewis. You know, Lewis, full of pride and full of judgmentalism and full of exasperation and arrogance. And really what Lewis is the most full of is Lewis. He's full of himself. And I think that it's hard for people to be around other people who are really full of themselves, people who are really not ready to treat others with grace. But when you're in the presence of somebody, and you guys know what I mean, because you've been that person before, who just somehow God is loving on so much that's spilling over into other people, that when you're around somebody who just exudes grace, people are drawn to that. You know, because that gives people hope and joy and strengthens their faith. And people experience God's love. It changes people's perspective. It changes the temperature in a room, really. It's a whole new place when God's people come in to a room and come into conversations and come into relationships and they're full of God's grace. It changes everything. God's grace is a gift, though. It's something we receive directly from him, given by him. It's something that we cannot earn. The Apostle Paul talks about this important gift of grace in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So in other words, reading that, the only way that you can get saved, the only way that you can experience new birth in Christ and have eternal life is by the grace of God. You know, looking at the character in the video, looking at Lewis, he had these Christian trappings around him. And, you know, looking at somebody like that, because I think there's probably been times, hopefully earlier in my life, when I was a little like Lewis in some ways, and hopefully not as much now. But looking at that, you know, I think Lewis probably had a real experience with Christ at some point. He probably at some point received God's grace and was thankful for it. And it probably changed who he was, but then somewhere along the way it got mixed up. And he started taking on this, a lot of religiosity and a lot of rules and a lot of regulations and a lot of church expectations maybe, and a lot of need to just be right. And as Lewis said, "All this time I've been bound up by religion. I don't want to be bound up anymore." Being full of a need to be right is tiresome. Did you guys maybe ever experience that? Arguing with somebody about whatever thing it may be, a lot of times with doctrine or beliefs or what have you, or it wears you down. You know, it makes you feel tired, this need to feel right. And usually whoever you're interacting with, it causes them to feel bitter eventually at you, no matter what you say, no matter whether you're right or not, even if they know you're right. That it's just wearisome, it's tiresome, not only for you, but because along with that, always, is pride and arrogance. And that's part of what Paul's talking about in Ephesians there, that a person cannot earn the saving grace of God by being good enough or being right enough or working hard enough, and that if we could earn our salvation in that way, it would give us a cause to boast. It would give us a cause to feel puffed up and to feel that rightness and that arrogance that, yeah, I figured it out. I've got it together. I've got the answers now. Look at what I accomplished. And the truth is, as much as God is full of grace and mercy and forgiveness, that he really is not into prideful people at all. God is not into arrogant people or people who are loud and obnoxious and are full of themselves. And I think, you know, my own pride in my life and how hard of a thing that is to be free from. And I think that God, when he sees that pride for our own sake, I think he wants to reach in and take our prideful heart, and I just think he wants to just break it so that he can remake it new, full of grace and love and all the goodness that comes from him and less of ourselves. And a lot of times he uses painful situations in our lives. He uses loss of loved ones sometimes, or loss of a job, or just a messed up relationship that can't seem to get right, or whatever it is. But he takes those painful things to help us understand that we don't have the answers, and to humble us, to break our hearts a little bit so that he can give us something that when we have pride in our hearts we can't receive, which is the gift of his grace. In James 4:6, this is one of my favorite verses all year round, not just in Christmas Advent season, but God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's probably one of my favorite verses because it's one that God has had to smack me with over and over and over, and I'm sure, again, over. And in this verse, James is actually quoting, it's a principle from the Old Testament. This is from Proverbs 3:34. Toward the scorners, God is scornful, but to the humble, he gives grace. You know, too often in our culture, it's really sad, but I think there are a lot of people who aren't familiar with Jesus Christ really, who he really is and what he's really about. And they hear the word Christian, and they think, oh yeah, those are the people who are anti-gay. Those are the people who are anti-smoking. Those are the people who are anti-playing cards on whatever day. Those are the people who are against having your business open on Sunday. Those are the people who are against whatever. The first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds, unfortunately, when they hear the word Christian, is everything that they think that we're against. And I think how cool would it be if the first thing that came into their mind was Christians? Yeah, you guys are the ones that I was out at the park and I was really upset that day, and you guys asked if you could pray for me. That was so cool. You guys are the ones that when my mom died, you guys came over when you lived next to us and you brought a meal and brought us a card, even though you didn't know us that well. The Christians, you guys are the ones that when we were visiting my mom at the Century Villa, you guys came out and you blessed them with a worship service, you know, whatever it might be. You guys are the ones who helped clean up after the tornadoes. You know, you guys showed up, and we didn't even know who you people were, but you all showed up for some reason and started picking up stuff out of my yard and helping us out. You know, how great would that be when people who aren't Christians hear that term and they start thinking about all the great things, all the good things that we are and that we're for? And I think that's a good goal. I think that's a good thing for us to keep in mind, that we want to be really intentional to seize every opportunity God gives us to show somebody who he is by the way that we treat them and the things that we say and the grace that we have. But it's not all about other people, you know, it's also about us. So what about you? What about me this evening? You know, what is binding you up? You know, what are you a slave to this evening that you need freed from? What are you afraid of tonight? What are you frustrated by? What are you worried about? You know, what area of your life do you have a lot of needless religion just because? It's not doing you any good or anybody else. You know, what area of your life in your walk with Christ, you just need a whole lot more grace maybe than what you have now. You know, Lewis ends up in a full body cast, and he's really the embodiment of what a lot of religion can do when there's not much grace present. That, you know, he was bound up spiritually, he was bound up emotionally, and because of his stupidity, he gets bound up physically from jumping on the conveyor. He is bound up by religion, by rules in his life. But he receives this gift of grace from the store clerk. He receives this forgiveness and this gift. And when he does, you can see this little bit of humility creeping in to his heart. And when we have that, we're ready to receive God's grace, when we're ready to be humble. Because life is much more than just trying to be right. Life as God intended is about being right with our Creator and about being right with other people. And that's really where the gift of grace comes in, because without the gift of grace, it's not possible. We're too easily offended, all of us, and it's too easy for us to offend other people, all of us. But when we receive God's grace, when we receive this gift from him, when we're humble before him and we call out to him in faith and we receive grace from him, we're able to give it. And not only does that make our relationship with him what it should be, but it allows us something supernatural. It allows us to have grace toward other people. You know, there's so many people in all of our lives that we have conflict with, and just baggage with. And it's so easy to let those differences put a wedge there. And the only thing that can bring healing is God's grace. It's not about who's right. What's pleasing to God? That's what it's about. And I find in my own life, I mean, this is a daily thing. Every day, asking God for his grace and receiving it. Because we have his promise, and when we ask for that, we receive it. And then every day, extending that to other people. And I find when I don't do that, it's really easy for me to know, because I start feeling bound up. You guys start feeling bound up in your relationships toward other people, where there's just baggage that you don't want, that hurts you, but you play over who's right with a discussion, who said what. You know, that's not what God wants for us. It can be a lot of things. You know, there are people who have a list of even Christmas cards, and they'll send out cards to everybody on their list, and then anybody who doesn't send them a card back, well, that's it, you're off the list. You know, there are people who count the gifts they get, and if they don't get as many as they got last year, they're pretty upset. You know, there are people who look at the gifts and think, well, let's see, I spent $40, and what they gave me, that couldn't have cost more than $30. And they're bothered by that. You know, do we get caught up in those crazy things? And sometimes, you know, the one place that we're supposed to be really freed up to accept God's love is in the church, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even sometimes in the church, the way that we act or the way that people act towards us, it restricts grace. It doesn't open us up to freedom and humility to extend grace and give it. You know, sometimes we just get bound up in who's right. Who's right about where we put the nativity? Who's right about the songs we do and whether we do them early enough or late enough? Or who's right about whatever instead of what's really right, which is receiving grace from God and giving that grace to other people? You know, I don't want Christmas to be like a body cast for me in any way. You know, and I hope that that's your desire as well. So I want to encourage you tonight that whatever has you bound up, receive God's grace tonight. And then give it. And that when you do that, it will set you free. As we head into the holiday season, you know, the Christmas season, there's so many opportunities. You're going out shopping. You go to the mall, you've been circling for 10 minutes, and there's that space, and somebody just cuts in that you know just pulled into the parking lot. What a great opportunity to just give grace, even if they don't know it. Just to say, you know what, Lord, thank you. They seem to be in a hurry. Thank you for helping them out with the space. Bless their time out here at the mall. And mean it, you know, if you can. If you can't, pray anyway. Sometimes it helps just to pray the right thing, and God will work it into your heart to where you actually mean it later. It's true. But, you know, how can we make other people feel encouraged and loved and unbound, you know, to be free from judgment, to be free from how right we are? You know, can we let things go and just treat people with grace and forgiveness? I want to share with you a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet wrote, "No, this is the kind of fast I want. I want you to remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of the burdensome yoke, to set free the oppressed, and to break away every burdensome yoke. I want you to share your food with the hungry and to provide shelter for the homeless, oppressed people. When you see someone naked, clothe him. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Then your light will shine like the sunrise. Your restoration will quickly arrive. Your godly behavior will go before you, and the Lord's splendor will be your rear guard. Then you will call out, and the Lord will respond. You will cry out, and he will reply, 'Here I am.' You must remove the burdensome yoke from among you and stop pointing fingers and speaking sinfully. You must actively help the hungry and feed the oppressed. Then your light will dispel the darkness, and your darkness will be transformed into noonday. The Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in the parched regions. He will give you renewed strength, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that continually produces water. Your spiritual ruins, or your perpetual ruins, will be rebuilt. You will reestablish the ancient foundations. You will be called the one who repairs broken walls, the one who makes the streets inhabitable again." Religion is wanting to be right. You know, God describes himself as truth, the embodiment of truth. Truth matters. But if it's not truth filled with God's grace and love, it's in vain. Grace is wanting to be right with God and with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your grace, Lord. Thank you that it's by your grace and by grace alone that we're saved. Thank you, Lord, that it's your grace that sustains us each day. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your grace in such abundance that it spills over into the lives of people around us. Father, for this Christmas, for this season, Lord, help us to become a little less religious and help us to be a little more gracious, Lord. Father, we believe that as we're asking this in faith. And as we believe, Lord, we receive it. Father, I pray that right now, if there's any of us who have been bound up in unforgiveness or in fear or in pride or just religion, Lord, whatever it may be, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just empower grace to move in and to drive that out and to heal our hearts, Lord. Fill us with your grace so that people would be drawn to you, Lord. Fill us with so much grace, God. I pray that every person here has so much grace that it is like that star over the stable, Lord, that people see that grace and they are drawn to Jesus Christ because of it. God, I pray that for each of us, you would give us renewed excitement and wonder at the first arrival of your Son, at Emmanuel, God, with us. And God, help us to just be filled with continual expectancy and love and adoration, Lord, as we look forward to your second arrival. God, we know it's coming soon. But we pray, Lord, that in the meantime, that you would just help us to celebrate who you are in a way that draws people to you and not pushes people away from you, Lord. Father God, as we get ready to just worship you a little more and as we come to a close in this service, Father, I pray too that you would give me and each of us here clarity regarding anything that we need to just take time now, whether it's just sitting quietly or maybe talking to somebody else, Lord, but we would approach you in prayer, approach you in humility, and receive all the grace we need tonight, Lord. I just pray no one would leave tonight without that gift. In your Son's precious name, amen. Yeah, worship team, if you'd come on back up.